goes right along with what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. I'm going to say a word about what they said in that song here in just a moment. I tell you, the only thing that song was missing was Melissa and Kelsey. Amen. Oh, man. That was excellent, though. I enjoyed that. And maybe one day we'll get that going. I hear Melissa can sing beautiful. She's looking at me now like, would you please move on? Amen. Would you sing for us right now? I'm just playing. I'm just joking. That's right. Yeah, I was going to say, Michael, don't feel bad. They get used to it. I've been embarrassing my wife now for 20 years, and they get used to it. They never get it quite over it, but they get used to it. Amen. I'm actually going to show y'all real quick. I know it's been kind of serious here. But I want to share something with you all that this is the kind of stuff that I get.
In today's video, we'll be focusing on a new word that you might find challenging or intriguing. So let's dive into today's word, plethora, which means a large or excessive amount. Let's say it all together, plethora. One more time. Plethora.
So that's the kind of love I get from this church, okay? Just so y'all know. I've asked his brother Tracy here tonight, because if he was, I was going to get him to put it up on the big screen so we could all have a lesson on how to say plethora, okay? So if you wasn't here last Sunday morning, you won't understand, but that's the kind of treatment I get throughout the week. And so I got that text this week, and I got a good laugh out of that. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're in big trouble. Life's going to be long and hard if you don't learn to laugh at yourself, and so... I enjoy it sometimes, but we're going to get back into the book of James tonight. I need to find my place here in James. I've enjoyed the testimonies, and I wanted to stand up and say something, but I knew I was going to have an opportunity to preach, and so maybe sometime here in the future, I know with Thanksgiving coming, we'll have some more testimony services, and it's always good to give thanks to God. God truly is worthy of all our praise and of all our thanks, and so I enjoyed your testimonies tonight. We started a series in the book of James 2 weeks ago, and I won't re-preach those messages. But last week, if you'll recall, on Sunday morning, we were talking about trials in the book of James. And we talked about how there is a plethora of trials, right? Life has a lot of different trials, right? They're just thrown at us from many different ways. And James, as he transitions, I think, not from trials, but to another aspect of trials, begins to talk about prayer. I won't get into it tonight, and I may not get into it at all during this series, but I think it's interesting. I'll give you something to kind of give you a little at-home study of the book of James, right? A lot of people don't believe that there's any, any flow, what you might say, to the book of James, that it's just kind of like the book of Proverbs. It's just, James is just giving truth after truth after truth. And there's some validity to that, but I do believe there's a flow to the book of James as I've been studying it over the past couple weeks. And something I came across that was interesting, I'll give you a challenge that you could do in your own personal time, is one man said that you should look at the book of James as chapter 1 as his introduction. This is interesting. James is going to touch on a lot of different topics in chapter 1 of the book of James. And then he's going to come back in chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, and he's going to elaborate on many of them. And so I think it's interesting in your own personal time, if you're reading through the book of James, maybe try to see as you read through some of the chapter 1 and some of the topics that James touches on. Don't do it right now. I see somebody looking down at your Bible. James is going to come back to trials again. James is going to come back to prayer again. James is gonna come back to some of the topics that he's going to discuss. The rich and the poor is what we're going to look at next. James is going to come back to that thought again. And if you go through James chapter 1, you'll find that James comes back to everything he says in chapter 1, and he touches on it a little more in the coming chapters. But tonight we're going to look at prayer, but it won't be the last time that James mentions prayer. But I want to look at a couple things about prayer tonight out of James chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. I want to look first at this, the cause of prayer. The cause of prayer. James gives us a couple causes that I believe that will drive us to pray. I see two of them in particular here in the beginning of this letter, and we discussed one of them last week. I believe that you cannot take this verse of Scripture. Well, I shouldn't say you cannot. I think that you can, because this truth is taught throughout the Bible. So I do believe this verse could be pulled out of James chapter number 1 and be applied to many areas of our life, because this truth that James is touching on is taught many places in the Bible, okay? But if you keep it in the context in which James is given it, the flow of the letter of James, I believe that James is connecting verse 5 to verses 2 through 4. You understand what I'm saying? So James, we looked at last week, trials, right? So the first thing I want to say about the cause for prayer is this: difficulties. Difficulties. Last week we talked about some of the trials that come into our life, and we could call them difficulties. And can I tell you that difficulties will drive you to pray? Difficulties will cause a person to go to God in prayer. If you look back in verse number 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." We talked about how that those temptations are trials. And verse 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And then James goes on to say, "If any of you lack wisdom," right? And so he says, because of these trials that you're going through, because of these difficulties that you're facing, that ought to cause you to pray. That ought to cause me to pray. And any of us that have been through any difficulties in life, any of us that have been through any trials in life, understand that if anything in life will cause us to pray, it's trials. It's difficulties. I'm not so sure that sometimes it's not a part of that process that we talked about last week, where God is trying to do something through the trials of our life. He's trying to complete us, right? He's trying to make us mature. He's trying to make us content. He's trying to get us to be compliant. And in those trials, we learn to go to God in prayer. Right? And so James is giving us a cause for prayer. And the first cause, I think, we saw last week, and that is difficulties. But I think we see another cause in verse number 5 that James touches on, and I'm going to call this one deficiency. Deficiency. I hope that's how you say it. If I get a text this week, I'll know it's not how you say it, right? But deficiency, right? You say, what does that mean, Brother Dave? To be deficient is to be lacking. Right? That's what the word deficient, if you were to look up the word deficient in a dictionary, one of the definitions of the word deficient would mean that you are lacking in an area. And so James says there's some causes to pray. Number one, it's the difficulties of life. The difficulties of life ought to drive us to prayer. If you're going through a trial right now, you ought to be praying. Right? You ought to be going to God in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that testing, right? But not only difficulties cause us to pray, deficiency causes us to pray, right? It's the lack of something here that James mentions, and that is wisdom. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, if you are deficient in the area of wisdom, James says you ought to pray. That ought to cause us to pray. And I don't know about you, but I can honestly say that many times when it comes to this thing of wisdom, I feel deficient. I feel as if I am lacking. I feel as if I need some wisdom. You say, what is wisdom? I mentioned that song when they began to sing. They didn't know that I was going to be saying this tonight, but I've literally got it written in my notes. I read many different definitions of the word wisdom this past week, and I'll give you a couple of them. Some people say it like this. Some people say that wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and understand it. That's a good definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and understanding. Now that is a type of wisdom that you could have in this world. There is a wisdom of this world. You do understand that, right? There is a worldly wisdom. There are people in this room that are very wise in matters of this world. But I don't think that that's what James is speaking of when he tells these people, if any of you lack wisdom. He's not talking about worldly wisdom. He's talking about heavenly wisdom. And there's a big difference. I believe that heavenly wisdom is this. I really like this definition that I heard someone say. Heavenly wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. That's what they just sang about. From the shepherd's view. You see, worldly wisdom is taking understanding and knowledge of things in this world and being able to apply them to the situation. And it is good to have worldly wisdom. It's good to be around people that are wise. But spiritually speaking, there is such thing as a heavenly wisdom, and I believe that that's what James is talking about. James is talking about a godly insight that we apply to our lives. It's a godly insight that we apply to our lives. It's seeing the world from God's point of view. That's a good definition of wisdom. Wisdom is seeing it the way that God sees it. I mentioned last week, you may recall, in verse number 2, he said, count it all joy. And if you recall, in the definition of count it all joy, one of the things that I said, and this was my own personal definition, was make it make sense. That word count is an accounting term, and it's reconciling it. It's getting making it make sense, right? And can I tell you, sometimes we've got to ask God to give us wisdom, to give us his point of view, to help us to see it from the mountaintop where the shepherd's looking from, so it'll make sense. You understand what I'm saying? Wisdom is, God, help it make sense. I'm going through this trial, and God, I need you to help me to make it make sense. God, I'm going through this test, and that's what he's talking about here. I think we could apply that to so many areas of our lives. It's not just the trials that we go through. He said the trying of your faith, that's the test, the testing of your faith. What did I say last week faith was? And I'm just convinced this is what biblical faith is. Some people think that faith is just this magical belief, right? I don't think that's biblical faith. Biblical faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Biblical faith is, I believe what God says to the point that it affects my life. I so believe God. I so have faith in God and what God has said that it affects the way I live my life. And so sometimes we need for God to help us to make it make sense. And so I said the trying, the testing of our faith. There's so many areas of life that we need God's wisdom. We need God's point of view in the test of life. Can I tell you, raising children in 2024 for God, the way the Bible says, is a test. It's a trying of my faith. Am I going to believe what God's word says about how to raise my children? Am I going to believe what God's word says about providing for my family? Am I going to believe what God's word says about the way that I live my life? You understand? So we could take this. He said, it's the trying of your faith. It's the trying of your belief in what God says. And really, every single day of our life, our faith is put to the test. Every single day. Tomorrow, we will wake up and we will go to work. We'll go to school. Some of you are retired. You'll go about your business. But regardless, you're going to have some decisions tomorrow whether or not you're going to believe what God says or not. Are you going to live according to God's word or not? That could be the trying of our faith. Now, I do think James is talking about greater trials than that, but I said last week, God will give us little trials to prepare us for the big trials. But our faith is constantly being tried. And so we see the difficulties that cause us to pray, but also we see deficiency. We need wisdom. I think about that. I think it's in, well, Jesus gave this story in the Sermon on the Mount, or some people say the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. But Jesus talked about that foolish builder. You remember that? He had the information that the wise builder had. You remember that? He had all the information that the wise builder had, but there was a difference between the foolish and the wise. The wise man, Jesus said, he heard these sayings of mine and he did them. You see, that's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what God says, seeing it from God's point of view, and acting upon it. That's biblical wisdom. The one man knew, he heard the sayings, but he didn't do anything with them. It reminds me of Corinthians when it talks about knowledge puffeth up. It's not enough just to know. Brethren, it's not enough for us just to know. It's what are we going to do with what we know? That's wisdom. How am I going to apply what I know? We live in an age of information. Can I tell you, it's not more information we need. We live in an age of education, but people are more foolish than ever. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why? Because they knew a lot of stuff. And we're living in a day where many know a lot of stuff. The age of information, anything you want to know is at your fingertips. There's not a question, and I know because I ask it all the time, there's not a question you can't ask this thing right here, especially now with AI. That's dangerous. It's crazy. AI knows everything. But can I tell you, AI is foolish. Some of you didn't believe that. Can I tell you, AI might have a lot of information. AI might have a lot of knowledge, right? Siri might know a lot of stuff. Google might have all the information you'll ever need. But if it don't know how to apply it, it's not wise. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's the application of understanding. And James says that we're deficient. I'm not so sure when he says if any of you lack wisdom, that it's not saying, there's many times in the Bible, I'm not saying it is this way. Some believe it is, some believe it's not. But there's many times when that word if is used in your Bible that it means since. Since ye lack wisdom. As if James is saying, you don't know what you think you know. Since you lack wisdom, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Since you're deficient, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. So the cause for prayer, it's difficulties, it's deficiency. But let me look at number two. I don't want to just see the cause for prayer. I want to see the charge of prayer. Look at what James says. He kind of charges them. I don't know about you, but it kind of charges me when I look through it. I hope that's what I can do tonight, is kind of charge you. I mean this with all of my heart. I say it often, but I mean it. I sat right there in that chair during prayer time, and I asked God, God, help me to help somebody tonight. I am not here to entertain. I'm not here to impress. You say, well, good, because you don't impress me. Well, I'm not trying to. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to impress you tonight. I'm not trying to make somebody believe that I'm some great preacher, because I am what our pastor said this morning. I know what I am. I am nothing but a sinner saved by the grace of God. What I am is by the good grace of God, okay? And so I'm not here to impress anybody. Anything that I know, I learned from somebody else, okay? But I'm just going to tell you this. I hope somehow, some way, that I wouldn't impress somebody tonight, but that I would impact somebody tonight, that I would charge somebody tonight to go to God in prayer and ask God for wisdom. Because can I tell you, brethren, it is lacking in our day. Our country is in a desperate need for people that have wisdom. I'm going to go beyond that and say our churches are in a desperate need for Christians that have wisdom, not understanding. We got so much understanding. In a church like this, this church is full of people that know the Bible, that have a lot of biblical information up here in their minds and in their heads. Some know more about the Bible. They've forgotten more about the Bible than I know right now. But it's not about what you know. It's about how you apply what you know to your life. That's wisdom. And James says, you need wisdom. James says, I need wisdom. We're lacking in that area. And he gives us a charge about wisdom, and I want to give it to you tonight. James says, you know, though there you're going through difficulty, and though you feel deficient, right? He says, then I've got something I want you to do. I want to charge you to pray. I see a couple things in this charge. Number one, I see the accessibility. Look at verse number five. It says, if any of you, I like that. If any of you, you know what that tells me? That's everybody. Here, I'll give it to you Madison language. All y'all. If all y'all lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Red, yellow, black, and white, anybody, any age, any of y'all, right? Now, I do think James is talking to Christians. We already established that a couple weeks ago. He said, brethren. So he's talking to Christians. But if you're a Christian tonight, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter how much information you have, how much you know. James says, any of you. That's everybody. All of you can come to God. All of you have access. Aren't you glad that you've got access tonight? I'm glad that there's access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil has been rent, and we can go straight to God. We don't have to go through a pope. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go once a year on the high day of atonement. No, we have access. Any one of us that are saved by the grace of God can go straight to God and ask for wisdom. I'm glad that I've got access to God. Some people, there's people they wish, some of you wish you could talk to the boss, right? Say, man, I wish I just had access to the boss for a couple minutes. If I could just sit down at his desk, I'd fix this company, right? Can I tell you, you've got access to the boss. You can talk to God. And so we have access. Not only that, James says he's available, right? Look at it. He says, any of you, that's our access. It's every one of us. It says, let him ask of God. He's available. His ear is open to our prayer. God is not too busy for you. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him individually ask of God. God is available. God is not busy. God's ear is open to his saints. His hand's not short that it cannot reach it, and his ear is open, right? God will hear you when you pray. God hears me when I pray. That'll charge you tonight for prayer. You need wisdom? In life, do you feel sometimes, I believe I'm talking to a group of people that feel like they're lacking in this area of prayer. They feel like, if you're like me, you feel like, man, I need God's point of view. I just don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know my next move. Can I tell you? Hey, God is accessible. God is available. You can go to God. He talks about his accessibility, his availability. He talks about his ability. Look at it in verse number 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Look, that giveth to all men liberally. God is the great God giver. I mean, the great gift giver. One people say that he's the giving God. In the Greek, this actually reads the giving God. Let him ask of the giving God. It's the way that they define him. God is a giving God, and God will give to you. He has the ability that we don't have. He sees what we don't see. God can see what I can't see. God knows what I don't know. He knows what's on the other side. I don't, you don't, but God does. So he talks about his ability. He talks about how he gives abundantly. Look at it. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask about it, to give it to all men. Look at it, liberally. We give liberals a hard time and for good cause many times, right? But can I tell you, God's liberal in some things. God's liberal in giving wisdom. God giveth liberally. He'll give as much wisdom as you need. James says, if you're lacking wisdom, if you feel like you don't have enough wisdom and you can't make the right decision, he says, ask God. God has the ability. God is accessible. God is available. And God is able. And he says, and God will give abundantly. God will give you more than you could ask or think. I think that verse has been mentioned tonight. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. God will give you more than you could ever imagine. He'll give it to you abundantly. And so we see that he gives it abundantly. I like this. He gives it affectionately. Look at verse number 5 again. He says he giveth to all men liberally. And look at this. And upbraideth not. You say, what does that mean? That word upbraideth is almost to reproach. I thought about it like this. It actually really convicted me. Sometimes, my kids are probably thinking many times, right? My children will come ask me something. And if I'm busy, if I'm in the middle of something, I'll upbraid them. I'll respond like, with a harsh tone. I'll almost rebuke them when they ask me, especially if they've asked me a bunch of times. I've got two little ones that love to ask for drink. I mean, I don't know what it is. From the age of about 3 to about 7, there must be something going on inside of your body. I thought every one of my children was diabetic, and I'm not being mean or joking. I'm being dead serious. The way these children drink, I'm thinking, I always heard that's a sign of diabetes, and I'm like, man, all my kids got it because they're always wanting something to drink, right? And they'll ask you, can you give me something to drink? 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 And after about the 10th time of can you get me something to drink, I'm like, no, get yourself something to drink. I'll just ask Leah to get you something to drink, right? I reproach them. I rebuke them. I upbraid them. Can I tell you that God is a God that no matter how many times we come and we ask him, he doesn't upbraid us. He gives us affectionately. God is waiting to answer us. God wants to answer our prayers. It's hard for us to even understand that because we, in our fallen nature, we're not that way. If you ask us enough times, you're going to get under our skin. But it's like God, James knew that about us. And James said, hey, I want to remind you, God's not that way. God doesn't upbraid you, even though you didn't listen last time he told you. Even though you've already asked him 10 times and he's already told you, guess what? He'll tell you again. He doesn't upbraid, he upbraideth not. God answers us and gives us what we need with affection because God loves us. I was thinking about something Pastor said this morning, and he was talking about that very truth there, how that God, he just loves his children. And God wants to give us what we need. And so he talks about it affectionately. And then he says, you can do it assuredly. Look at verse number 5 one more time. Is anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Look at this. And it shall be given. James says you can go to God assured that he's going to answer you. Now, you know, I will say this. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, okay? There is a name it, claim it kind of attitude amongst some Christians today. I don't believe in a name it, claim it, okay? We can't just name it and claim it. But I'll tell you this, in this verse we can. You say, why? Because the Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us and he's going to do what's according to his will. And can I tell you that God giving me wisdom, God showing me his point of view for my life is always his will. It's always his will. It's always God's will to show me his point of view, to show me the wisdom that I need for the decisions and the difficulties of life. And so I can go to God when I'm seeking wisdom. I might not be able to go to God in faith asking for a new car, but I can go to God in faith asking for wisdom because it's always God's will to give me wisdom. Always. I can go to him assuredly. James said, he said in verse number 5, he said, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You can go to God and claim the promise. God, I need wisdom, and I know you want to give it to me because it's always your will to show me. And so you see it, it's assuredly. So we see number 1, the cause for prayer. Number 2, the charge of prayer. And number 3, the challenges of prayer. Look at verse number 6. He says, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. So you say, what are the challenges then, Brother David? Because there are some. I'll tell you the first challenge is doubt. Doubt. I just told you, God wants to give us wisdom. We can claim this promise. If we're asking for wisdom in verse number 5, upon the authority of God's word, God said it, we can put our faith in what God has said. Did God not say, brother, look at it one more time. I'm almost done. I know it's getting late, but I told you I want to help somebody tonight, and I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I'm telling you, somebody here tonight, probably everybody here tonight, is lacking in wisdom, and this is a promise that you can claim from the word of God. If any of you lack wisdom, he said, let him ask of God. God will give it to you liberally. He won't upbraid you, and it shall be given unto you. That is a promise that you can claim. But one of the challenges of prayer is this, doubt. We just can't believe it sometimes. We can't take God at his word. We say we have faith, but do we? Do we really have faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, listen to it, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have got to have faith. We have got to believe that God is going to do what he said he would do in his word. If God said he would give you wisdom, then you've got to claim that by faith and say, God, you've told me you're going to give me wisdom. I'm claiming your promise. I'm holding on to your promise, and I'm going to act upon the wisdom that you give to me. But if we're not careful, we'll doubt. James said, you can't doubt now. You can't doubt the word of God. I'll give you this little illustration and I'll be done. I think it was Lou Baldwin that told this story. I love it. I remembered it and I thought, man, that's perfect. Some of you may remember this, some of you may not. Maybe you heard somebody else say it, but I think Lou Baldwin said that our faith promise meeting one year. He told the story of a man that put a line across Niagara Falls. A tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he asked this crowd of people, he had all these crowd of people come out, and he asked this crowd of people, he said, how many of you believe that I can walk across Niagara Falls and back on this tightrope? And they knew this man. I mean, he was like an evil Knievel. I think this is like true, okay? He said, how many of you believe I can do that? And this guy said, you know, all these people, woo, yeah. Like Hit us with Michael. Woo! We believe it, amen. And they this man, he walked across Niagara Falls and he came back. And they cheered for him. He said, how many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls and back? And they cheered. I mean, you know, probably got their phones out. I can't wait to see this. Right? He's going to fall. That's terrible, isn't it? But that's how people are, man. I mean, they get their phones out. I'm going to watch this. Yeah, we believe you can do it. Right? That's not me. I'm saying that's how people are, okay? So don't be judging me. That's some of you. But no, so he took the wheelbarrow and he went across and he come back. Then he said, how many of you believe I can fill this wheelbarrow full of rocks and I can push it across Niagara Falls and I can come back? And they cheered, woo, we believe it. And he pushed that wheelbarrow full of rocks across Niagara Falls and he come back. He said, I got a question. How many of you believe that I can put a man in this wheelbarrow and push him across the Niagara Falls and back? And they all say, woo, we believe it, we believe it. He said, who's going to get in there? Do we really believe it? That's faith. See, sometimes we're like that crowd of people. God, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you. God, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you. God, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you. All right, do it. I don't know if I really believe you, God. James said, don't be that way. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If it's in that book, brethren, you can believe it. If you can give me a verse of scripture for it, you can go to the bank on it, because God always does what he says he's going to do. And so God says, if you want wisdom, just ask, but don't doubt. So we see doubting. We also see deception. Look at verse number 7. I think a lot of us fall into this sometimes. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And then he says, verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You notice how he said think. Let not that man think. James talks about thinking a lot throughout this letter. I think in chapter number 1, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, I think that this is talking about deception. One of the challenges of prayer is doubt, but another challenge of prayer is deception. We'll deceive ourselves. James said, let not that man think he's going to get anything from God. And see, sometimes what we do is we don't trust God, we don't believe God, we doubt God, but then we try to make ourselves believe that God's leading us. And he says, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. If it's not in accordance with God's word, it's not God. I know that's hard. That hurts, don't it? But it's facts. If it's not in accordance with God's word, you've deceived yourself. You say, well, I got peace about it. Okay. You better be careful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'll tell you what you can better count on. It's not your heart. You better count on that Bible right there. You better put your faith in what God says. Not in what your heart says. Your heart will get you in trouble. My heart will get me in trouble. And so the challenges of prayer are doubt, deception, and then last, a double mind. A double mind. Look at verse number 8. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You say, what is a double mind, Brother Dave? Well, I don't have time to elaborate on it. But I believe it's somebody that just wishy-washy. Off and on, in and out. I believe God, but I'm going to do it this way. I know what God says, but the wise of the world say this. And they're double-minded. James talks about that again, chapter 4. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I think something like that, James 4, maybe verse 8, he says, talks about that double-minded again. That person that, I think it might be kind of like that person Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, trying to serve two masters. Now let me say this. I don't believe it's talking about somebody that, you know, we all lack sometimes. I'm talking about a way of life. You understand what I'm saying, right? It's a way of life for some people. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and he staggered not at the promises of God. He was strong in faith. But if you read the Old Testament, you're going to find there was times where Abraham doubted. But it wasn't a way of life to him. And so when he says a double-minded man, he says it's a way of life to him. They're always off and on. They're always in and out. They can't never get it settled. Get some things settled. He said that man is unstable in all of his ways. He's unsure. He's wavering. He's like the sea. I think it's like that. You get out on the ocean and those waves get to beating. And I mean, it's just this way and that way and this way and that way. And I mean, just rocking. He says that's the way that man is. He's unstable. He's unsure about anything. He says that's a double-minded man. And that's one of the challenges of prayer. If we're not careful, we'll doubt. We'll deceive ourselves. We'll be double-minded. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be. I need wisdom from God. I hope you do. I hope I help somebody tonight. I mean that. We need wisdom, brethren. That ought to be the top of our prayer list. If I were to look at your prayer list, I wonder if wisdom's even on there. Because we need wisdom. God, help me to see this world the way you see it. God, help me to know how to raise my family, how to live my life, what to do in this situation, what I can find out from this difficulty. What do you want from me? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? God, help me to be wise and claim it and believe it. And James says, you'll get it. You'll get it. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet if you would.